Today I'm talking about peacemakers. And we're looking at a guy named Phinehas. Now the scriptures talk about blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I bet you know what a flag like that means, don't you? What does it mean? Yeah, it's you're saying, hey, I want peace. I want to, either it can mean I want to surrender or we want to talk, which is always a good thing. I like talking rather than fighting.
Yeah.
You know, I'd probably lose. So I want to be careful here. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 9, let's say this together. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And of course, we've already had y'all come forward. Peacemakers are those people who work for peace. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If you're making something, you're working for it. In fact, the New Living Translation says, blessed are those who work for peace, for they shall be called the children of God. Kind of cool, huh? So the reason we're showing that flag today is because I'm thinking about somebody about who's brought peace. Now peace, another way of saying this is somebody who is a peacemaker, is somebody who works for it, who's trying to get it. Trying to bring peace. We should do that, shouldn't it? But we should do peace not because we want something out of it, right? You give me $100 and I'll make peace with these folks? That's sort of selfish, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah, we shouldn't do that. Yeah, Jesus' promise said that those who would be peacemakers would be called children of God or sons of God. Now, in ancient times, when you were called the son of God or the child of God, this meant you were special. This meant you were a leader. You were a king. I mean, you were a general. Yeah, I don't pull that off really, do I, in this robe, do I? Yeah. But it was supposed to be given to somebody important because they have shown themselves. The thing is, in ancient times, usually leaders and kings, they weren't known for peacemakers. If they killed out this flag too much, they wouldn't be called sons of God. They'd be called nothing, because usually they didn't follow those very well. They did very good about attacking other people. It wasn't a very good time. Some places around the world today, it's still like that, unfortunately. But Phinehas comes on the scene. Now, Phinehas has an interesting name. His name means his mouth is biting. Your name isn't Phinehas, is it? Good. That would be weird if your mom gave you that name, wouldn't it? It's kind of like, really? Because the idea behind that is serpent. I don't know about you, but calling your kid a snake, how many of you think this is a good... Don't answer that. I don't want to know if some of the parents here want to call their kids snakes. That just would be bad. But the snakes, besides biting, are also known for something else, being shrewd, being crafty, watching out, to find out the whole thing. And this is where we come to our story today. It's found in Joshua chapter 22, and I am not going to read this entire chapter because it's long. And you might fall asleep on me, and that'd be real embarrassing. Yeah, I know. Wow, then yeah. I don't want to do anything to bore you then.
That's like an hour long.
Well, I won't be an hour long. Anyway, we look at a group of people, Reuben, Gad, and a half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, in ancient Israel, we came across, and when they first came into the Promised Land, these two tribes and this half a tribe, this group of people, they were getting ready to cross into the Promised Land, and they were on this side of the Jordan River. Everybody was over here. It was pretty safe. They were on the eastern side of the Jordan River. It's pretty safe. And they said, this is a good place. We want to stay here. And so they asked Moses, can we stay here? And they said, yeah, you can stay here, guys. But you can't let your brothers and other tribes go across and have to fight all the battles they need to fight all by themselves. So they all decide, all the men of war, go across... Let's see. Ah, the Jordan River here at Jericho. And they conquer the whole land of Israel, at least a large portion of it. Everybody settled down, and this two and a half tribes say, okay, you guys are settled. And they go back home over here. Sounds like it's pretty good, right? Things are going fine. Now, a little place here called Shiloh, there was something special set up. It was this place. This was the tabernacle. This was the place all of Israel was supposed to gather and worship God. Instead of having lots today, we have lots of churches everywhere. God said, this is the one place. This is the only place. Don't go anywhere else. You go here. For church. That's it. Because their nation and how God set them up was a whole lot different than the way he's working with us today. Well, they went back over there. And things seem like they're going okay, except all of a sudden the people look across the river and they see that this two and a half tribes have built a tabernacle, an altar. Not a tabernacle, but an altar. And this huge, well, it probably wasn't that big. Well, it probably wasn't that small either. But it was big enough that they could see across the Jordan River that they had built this thing. The Jordan River was this huge river. Well, not really. It's about the size of the White River. You've been downtown, you've seen the river?
Not really.
Not really? Well, it's not very impressive, let me tell you. I used to live on the Ohio. This ain't nothing. Unless during flood stage, and anybody around here can probably tell you, flood stage around here isn't fun either. But it wasn't very big. So they looked across and they saw it and they thought, those guys have built an altar and they don't know, are they building it to a different God? Are they building it in contrary to what God had said? So, all the guys over here, let's see if I can get this working right, decide, you know what, we're going to come here to Shiloh, we're getting ready to go across and we're going to attack these guys. Because here's the thing, God had said, if you don't worship me faithfully, I won't protect you. Well, here's the thing. Israel, all through here, over here, oh no, well, there's the ocean, so that doesn't count. But up through here and down across, back through here, they were surrounded by enemies that were stronger than they were. And they knew if they lost God's favor, they were history. So they thought, we're not going to allow these guys over here on this side of the Jordan to get us in trouble with God. Because we can't afford God to be upset with us. Because we know the guys we're fighting, and without God's help, we'd be in trouble. Yeah, dead. See, the tabernacle was a place God commanded everybody to worship. And allowing some of these people to worship, like I said, would cause God to turn their back on them. So the 10 and a half tribes gather and they're going to stop this action. And they're going to stop it by going to war. That sounds like a good plan, right? Not necessarily, you're right. Well, that's where Phinehas steps in. Phinehas steps in and he basically, let me borrow that a second. He says, hold it guys, hold it. Let's talk here. And so he steps in with some other people and says, let's find out what's really going on. So, he says, let's call the people over from the other side. Let's find out what's going on. They went over, they talked to him, and they said, why have you built this altar to another god, or an altar in contrary to what God said? And the people on the east side of Jordan, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, looked out and said, huh? What are you talking about? We're not building an altar. And they said, excuse me, what's that thing over there? You know? What's that? Well, like I said, probably not that big. We'll go with that one right now. What's that thing there? And they said, duh. Haven't you ever heard of a statue before? This is there to remind us that we're supposed to worship God on the other side of river. It's set here next to the river to remind us that we're supposed to come here, cross over, and worship God in Shiloh with the rest of you guys. And all of a sudden, Phinehas says, thank you, that's the information I needed. And he goes back and told the rest of the tribes of Israel and say, by the way, guys, you were wrong. I'm sure you've never assumed something and then found out later you were wrong. I have. Oh, yeah. Sure. We all do that sometimes, don't we? But if we're going to be peacemakers, let's get back to the right slide. We need to find out what's really going on. Because when we don't, we can get ourselves in trouble. I know for myself, I have been upset with somebody because I thought they were doing something that was going to hurt me, and I found out later they weren't. It's real embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I tell the story about my mom taking me to a nurse, and she had a needle about this long and was shoving it through me. I was five. I didn't remember it right. But what she was doing was giving me something to protect me so I wouldn't get sick later. So though my memory says, oh, she did something nasty, was she doing something nasty? No, she wasn't. See, that's the thing. When we find out the truth, we can respond correctly. See, things looked like they were wrong. But what they found out is what they thought was wrong. And if we're going to have peace with other people, we need to make sure we're thinking the right way. Yep, we need to get the information. Say, hey guys, let's talk this out. Let's find out what's going on. Find out the truth before we jump to conclusions. I said, I've jumped to conclusions, but you know, I bet none of these people have they? Nah. Yeah. None of you have ever jumped to conclusions, right? We won't go there. When we do that, conflict is avoided. And in this case, a nation did not go to war because they found out the truth. And Phinehas led this effort to find out what was really going wrong, right, so there wouldn't be anything wrong happening. He was the perfect example of a peacemaker. So we need to be like Phinehas. Don't jump to conclusions. And when we do that, we become great peacemakers. Find out the truth of what's really going on. But there's the rest of the story. How many have ever heard this line before? The rest of the story. Because when we start finding out the rest of the story, there's more going on. And the first story, there was something more going on. The rest of the story was they weren't building an altar to a false god. They were actually building a stones of remembrance so they would remember where they're supposed to worship God. But Phinehas has another story. And this one's rather PG-13. But it's in the Bible, and it's something we need to realize happens and takes place. Numbers chapter 25, starting in verse number 1, says, while the Israelites were camped in the acacia grove, some of the men defiled themselves by having sexual relations with local Midianite women. These women invited them to attend sacrifice to their gods. So the Israelites feasted with them and worshiped the gods of the Moabites. In this way, Israel joined with the worship of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against the people. The Lord issued the following command to Moses: seize all the ringleaders and execute them before the Lord in broad daylight, so the fierce anger will be turned away from the people of Israel. So Moses ordered Israel's judges, each of you must put to death the men under your authority who have joined in the worship of Baal of Peor. Just then, one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman into his tent, right before the eyes of Moses and all the people, as everyone was weeping at the entrance to the tabernacle. And when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he jumped up, left the assembly, took a spear, rushed after the man into his tent. Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body into the woman's stomach. So the plague against Israel was stopped, but not before 24,000 people had died. Ouch. This is definitely one of those stories that you're like, I hope my five-year-old doesn't read and ask me about. What's going on here? You know, Phinehas he's grabbing a spear. I don't have a spear, so I got to use this. He's shoving it through someone. This is intense stuff. And on the surface, when we look at it, it looks like it's rash, it's out of control, it's like wild, it's like bang, bang, bang. But what we don't realize is when we read Scripture, is the spaces between stuff. The time that took place. See, it wasn't just the fact that they showed up here. A few guys on Saturday night looked over and said, hey, you know what? Some of those women look hot. Let's go over and pick up some. No. See, what we don't hear, in fact, we don't find out some of this until later in the book of Numbers, is there was this guy called Balaam. Anybody remember Balaam? He had a donkey that talked. He looked at him and said, hey, buddy, you're an idiot. When your donkey tells you you're stupid, you know you're in trouble. At the end of everything, the king of the Midianites was upset because every time Balaam spoke, he blessed Israel. But before they separated, what we don't get in the original story is Balaam says, Balak, here's what you need to do. Get the men of Israel to start worshiping other gods. In fact, let's do this. We'll set up this false worship. And God will be disappointed with them. And you'll be able to conquer them, and they won't be a threat because God won't be protecting them. And the king of the Midianites said, that's a good plan. I like this. Only thing it cost me is a few prostitutes. Because that's what it was. See, Baal worship was public prostitution. It was nothing more than a public orgy. This was encouraged by the Moabite king to cause God's anger to fall. And like I said, this was planned out. So this wasn't something that just happened one night. It was in the works. And when we read the scripture, it says his tent, or another translation, it says the tent. But the Hebrew word here, it actually means a large open tent. Now, a large open tent isn't your house where you're staying. This is something else. Very possibly, it was a place set up where they would worship Baal. And so you'd gather your buddies and the prostitutes, and you'd get up, and you'd have this big orgy, either in public or in this big open place where everybody could see it. Gag. I'm just saying here, okay? And this part of the worship was the fact that it was supposed to be public. This wasn't happening behind the scenes. This wasn't happening quietly. In fact, God had waited a while before he did something. This is not, like I said, this is not something that just happened one night. This has been happening for a while. If you have enough time to set up a big public tent, how many realize that takes a little while? So this has been going on for a while. And God had finally said, I've had enough. And a plague broke out. If you think about it, though ancient times they didn't understand everything about diseases, they did understand that if you did something with somebody who was sick, you got sick. So there are some scholars, and I agree with them, who think that very possibly the plague was not just something that God sent, but that God allowed. It may have possibly, I'm not saying it is for sure, but it could have been something like a biological warfare. The Moabite king didn't just send prostitutes. He sent ones he knew were sick into the tribes of Israel. I mean, if you're wanting to undermine your enemy, send into your armies prostitutes that can make them sick. And God said, if you want to do that, I'll let you get sick. It's sort of like even today. God tries to protect you and take care of you. But if you decide to play in traffic, you're going to get hurt. But whether this was an exact, directly sent from God, or whether it's something God allowed, the plague was breaking out amongst the people because of the sin. And when sicknesses just don't pop up and say, ooh, I'm nearly dying now. Plagues take time. Again, we see here, there's a time period going on. This didn't happen one day and the gods were overreacting the other day. This has been happening over for a period of time. And now all of a sudden, people are looking around. People are sick. People are dying. And they're like, what's going on? God had promised us that he would protect us. So they came to the tabernacle, and God is saying, your people have sinned. You're doing this. It's wrong. It has to stop. In fact, God gives the command, the ringleaders must die. Now, if you think about it, why would God command this? Well, one reason is because they were doing this. The other reason is because each one of them were a walking plague. They were contaminated. They had something they could take to the rest of Israel. And God says, we're going to stop it here. And as the people are standing there, they're calling before God, here comes this man. And he's got his prostitute. As we read the story, he's not hiding it. He's not having a secret rendezvous with a woman he loves. That's not what's going on here. He's bringing a prostitute into the very center of Israel, where they were tent, in sight of the tabernacle, where the people are calling on God to have mercy, where God has just spoken and said, kill the people who do this, and this guy is saying, hey, I'm doing it anyway. What you gonna do about it? Now, we don't know if he actually said that, but that, to me, that's kind of the attitude. The guy is saying, are you really gonna do it? He is saying, I don't care. He's kind of like the guys, and you've all seen any type of movie that has sort of where people are contaminated, they try to keep them in quarantine. There's always one guy who, or gal, who says, I'm breaking out of here. And usually the person is mentally upset, so you can understand it. But this guy wasn't mentally upset. He says, I don't care about the quarantine protocol. I'm going out. I don't care who gets sick. I don't care who dies. I'm going to do what I want to do. What are you going to do about it? And in the movies, we know what happens. The sniper gets his gun, brings it down, and shoots the guy. Because he knows if he gets out, the plague will continue. Phineas is that guy. This guy's walking out. He's deliberately flaunting it. First, I'm thinking, this is just my own thought. Everybody's standing there just like, is this guy really doing this? People are dying all across the tribes. People are weeping, calling out for God. And here's this guy walking out, bringing this prostitute. And like I said, he went to the tent, a large open tent. This is not, like I said, not hiding here. And Phineas says, no, no. He grabs the spear, and this is a priest. So you got to imagine, he's in priestly garbs. Now, the robe here is supposed to emblemize that I'm supposed to be like a priest. So imagine Sunday morning, I'm jumping up from here, I'm grabbing a spear, and by the way, if I'm doing that here, please knock me down because I have lost my ever-loving mind. Because this today is not ancient Israel. We don't live in a society where God is ruling supreme, where the pillar of fire and cloud are sitting right here. That everyone with 100 miles can see, hey, got something going on there. We're in a whole different environment. But Phineas, he had just heard God say, these people have to die. And this guy is flatly doing this. And so he grabs the spear and he runs and he pierces through this guy. And the scripture says the plague ended. It ceased. You say, what does that have to do with a peacemaker? Well, see, a peacemaker does what is necessary to bring peace. And sometimes the thing, and oftentimes, most of the time, the thing to do to bring peace is to actually think and listen. It's not a selfish act. Phineas wasn't doing this because he was righteously indignant and I deserve the right to be able to do this to somebody who's doing wrong. No. Was there passion? Yes. But the passion was for God. It was a quick action, which is sometimes what is needed. But it wasn't something that just, oh, this just happened, and now I'm angry, and now I'm responding. No, there's a lot more going on here. But Phinehas' action brought peace between the children of Israel and God. And God said, this man is a peacemaker. See, a lot of times we think if somebody's peaceful, if somebody just sits there and just doesn't do anything, hello, please let's just get along. Let's just love each other. Sometimes, if you want to bring peace, you got to bring a club. I'm sorry. I do not condone violence. Some of the stuff that happens in the world in the name of God, even amongst people who call themselves Christian, is wrong. It's sin. And God is angry about it. But let me tell you something. If we get done here today, we start walking out to the parking lot, and there's some guy out there beating up and trying to rape some woman, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, Steve, would you call the cops? Steve's acting too slow. Hey, Tom, call the cops, please. We needed them to do something. No, if somebody's beating up and trying to rape some lady over there, you know, I bet there's a few of us guys and probably a few of you gals that are going to go over there and lay hands on him. In all Christian love. Is it Christian love? Yes, because we're stopping something horrible from happening. Sometimes there's a time that we need to act to bring peace. But we need to be careful when we do this. See, we may want to intimidate or act like Phinehas and say, "Ah!" But peacemaking, more often, especially in our world today, involves us not picking up the spear. It doesn't require our hands or our mouths. And with social media, we use our mouths, sometimes in the form of our texts, a lot. But peacemaking, more often than not, requires us using our ears and our heart. And we see in Phinehas a man who used both. And that's what God wants. People who, when something needs to happen and needs to happen quick, even if it's something violent, it seems like, they're willing to do it. But also someone who's willing to think through the situation and act accordingly and bring people together and saying, you got it wrong. You're thinking about it wrong. You need to step back and see what's really happening here. And because Phinehas did this, God gave him a promise. Numbers chapter 10, verse 25 through 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron, the priest who has turned my anger away from the Israelites by being zealous among them as I was. So I stopped destroying all of Israel, as I intended to do in my zealous anger. Now tell him that I am making a special covenant of peace with him. In this covenant, I give him and his descendants a permanent right to the priesthood. For in his zeal for me, his God, he purified the people of Israel, making them right with me. See, we need to work to make peace between people. But more importantly, especially as Christians, we need to make peace between people and God. And the way we do that today is not by fighting, not by anger, but the scripture says by love, by sharing the truth. And whatever we do, we need to make sure we're doing it under God's authority and not our own. There are people who sometimes want to twist scripture and say, God gives me the right to beat you up, either physically or verbally. But that's not the God of the Bible. We need to make sure what we're doing is, boy, because we're doing it under God's authority, and because of God's rules. But when we do it, God promises, I'm going to make you something special. I'm going to make you, you'll be known as a child of God. Which reminds that you have special rulership given by God. And also the fact is, God gives you a place of leadership. God says, you are special, and I have something special. Now you have the rest of the story. The story of Phinehas, the man who is anxious and zealous to do quick action, and a man who stopped and listened. But here's the thing. He's the man who did the right thing at the right time. The greatest peacemaker of all time is Jesus, and he brings peace to us, between each other, and more importantly, between us and God. And when he promises he will give us peace. Now, Father, I ask for your blessing upon all these who are here today. Be with them and walk with them, and Lord, may they become peacemakers to the world around them and show them your peace today, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless. Go with God.